1 Thessalonians 4, we'll start reading here in verse number 13. The Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." What an interesting verse that we find here as the subject of death is being discussed. And the Bible in many occasions talks about those that died as those that are asleep. And here it talks about those that have died, those that are asleep. We shouldn't be ignorant about them. We shouldn't be confused about them. We shouldn't sorrow as those that have no hope. The Bible says in verse number 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore," the Bible says, "comfort one another with these words." We have there at the beginning of the text that we read that we shouldn't sorrow like others, but we should comfort one another with these words. We should remember clearly that death is not the end for the believer. That death is just the time of passing into the presence of the Lord. And Jesus is coming back. We don't know when it might be, but when he comes, he's bringing the dead in Christ with him. And then the dead, the bodies will raise. And then all of us that are alive will be caught up to be with him there in the clouds. What an exciting text to read and to think about. But you know, as you read this, the last part of verse number 13 is so important. It says there, let's go and read the whole verse 13 for context. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." You know, it's a common response to death, to sorrow, for those who have no hope. I've stood by the graveside of many there in Chile where families are wailing and in sorrow as their dead loved one is being placed there into the grave, knowing that there's no evidence or there's no reason to believe that their family member was a Christian. They died in their Catholicism and they died without having placed their faith in Christ, and you stand there with the family and you encourage them to, now as they're looking at death, that they look unto Jesus and place their faith in Jesus. But it's a tough thing to preach the funeral of someone that for all the evidence that we can see never placed their faith in Christ. One of the most difficult, one of the most tragic things that preachers have to do. But one of the joyful things that we get to do sometimes as pastors is to gather around the family of those believers, and that dead one, the loved one that has died has passed on to be with the Lord, and we can come beside them and give them comfort that their loved one now is not suffering, is not fighting with illness, is not under all the curse of sin and this broken world and their broken body, but now they are with the Lord. They're with the Lord. But how many times there in Chile, I've walked through the cemetery knowing that just looking at the percentages of people that are actually believers in Christ being such a low number, that grave after grave represent people that have no hope. They have no hope. We know that we're all born without hope. We're all born as sinners, but praise the Lord, you and I have had the opportunity, assuming the majority here have placed their faith in Christ, we have had the opportunity of hearing the message of the gospel, and praise the Lord for that and the way God has changed our heart. But so many around the world have not had the opportunity. We're there in Santiago, Chile, and the video talked a bit about it, but it's a pedestrian society. Most people walk to get to where they're going. There's public transportation, but it's not very cheap, and gas is over $5 a gallon, and some people have cars, but most people will walk to get to where they're going. And if you're in a city like that, about 18 houses per acre, if you walk out of the front doors of any of the churches that we've started, just a 15-minute walk in each direction. I don't know if you could think about how far you would get walking 15 minutes here from the church. It's not very far, right? Maybe some of the younger ones will get a little further than others, but you don't get far in 15 minutes. But there's about 50,000 people in that 15-minute walk circled around any of the churches that we started. You literally just go 2 miles down the road in each direction, and you're in a whole nother area that area of the city needs to be reached by another church plant that can be there within walking distance of all those thousands and thousands of people. Really, 100-plus churches that are needed there in the capital. And you leave that city and town after town that has never had a Bible-preaching church yet in their city, in their town. Much need. People that have no hope. But praise the Lord, once they put their faith in Christ, they move from the hopeless to the ones that have hope, right? It reminds me of so many testimonies I could share about lives that have been changed there in South America. I remember one, there was a young man that came to the very first church service, the very first church that we started there in Chile. His name is Pancho. Pancho came in that first Sunday morning, and he was all dressed in black leather and chains and some kind of heavy metal t-shirt on. And he had headphones on, and you could hear the music from several feet away. He had his hair long and kind of fixed where it was covering up about half of his face. Real gothic look. You didn't think that it would be the typical teenager that would want to come to church for the very first church service of a new church plant there in Santiago. And I think he came just because his mom drug him to church that day. His mom, she didn't come back to church for, I don't know, a decade probably. But Pancho started showing up. He would come one service and miss two or three services and show up and be gone for a couple of weeks and come back around, always dressed the same way, always with music, most of the time had it in until the service started. Sometimes he would not even take his headphones off during the church service. And I'm thinking, why are you even here? God's changing lives, people are being saved, the church started growing. You know, we're working with a lot of different people, trying to follow up with Pancho. But he was one of those guys that was halfway in and halfway out. Months are going by, and even years start going by. And Pancho, he's there for a service, gone for a couple of weeks. He shows back up. We have pizza at the teen night, and he comes, and, you know, then he's gone again. And you look back, you always dress the same way, and you look back and think, I don't know if there's ever any hope for old Pancho. He made a profession of faith somewhere in that time and showed just very small evidences of a new life and new desires. But they were small and very slow in growing. Pancho got involved in some political groups, as many teenagers do there in Latin America. So he's with the socialists and the anarchists, and they're in the streets and burning things and throwing rocks at police officers and rioting on Saturday. And Sunday he shows up at church with his Bible trying to figure things out. And we're like, Lord, do something in Pancho's heart. We're going to try to help him out and keep loving him and encouraging him. Well, he finished high school and went off to college. I say went off to college. He was still there in the capital city, still coming to church about the same, with the same faithfulness. And we had teen camp in 2010. 5 years had gone by. And he decided he was going to go to teen camp in February, the natural month for teen camp, right, if you're in South America. And we went off the first week of February, and God got a hold of Pancho's heart during that week. And Pancho bowed his knees and poured his heart out to God and said, you know what, I just want to live for you, and I'm wasting my life, and I'm living for self, and living for money, and living for all these things, but you know what, there's only one thing that really matters, and that's living for you, Jesus, and I give it all to you. He came back from that camp reading his Bible every day, coming to church every time the church doors were open. God began to change him on the inside, and we began to see it on the outside as he gave his life to the Lord. The months went by. He started getting involved in some basic things there in the church and serving, and we were excited about it. 6 or 8 months go by, and Pancho comes up to me, and he said, there's so many families like my family. He was raised by a dad who was a Jehovah's Witness and a mother who was just the typical Chilean that said that she believed in God but was extremely confused. And there Pancho was being raised with no friends at school that were Christians, none. And he was trying to figure these things out. And as he began to give his life to the Lord, his heart was broken about family after family that still need Jesus there in his city. And he told me, do you think God could take me and use me as a preacher? You think God could use me to maybe go start a church like this church? And Bunto took that step of faith. He prayed about it for a couple of weeks and came back and said, I know this is what God's doing. He's calling me to preach. And went back to his family and said, Mom and Dad, I'm dropping out of the university. I'm going to start studying here at the Bible College with the missionary. I'm going to be a preacher. And his parents didn't understand it at all. They thought he was crazy. They thought he was throwing away everything. They threatened to throw him out of the house because he was making such an irrational decision. His grandfather, who had been paying all the bills at college, said, you know what, I don't even want to talk to you anymore. As far as I'm concerned, you're not part of the family. And here Pancho is. In Latin America, family's a big deal. And he was having to choose between do I live for Jesus or do I please my family and keep peace at home? But he knew what the Bible said. He knew Jesus talked about this kind of thing, that we should love him so much that it's as if we hated everyone else and our loyalty is only to him and we put our hands to the plow and we follow him. We take our cross and follow him and it's all about Jesus. And he told his parents, I'm following the Lord. I know what God wants me to do. Thankfully, they didn't kick him out of his house. And he began to prepare for ministry and getting some experience there at the church and preaching week in and week out there with these kids and later with the teenagers and began to grow. And about 3.5 years ago, Pancho and I went out and started Iglesia Bautista Libertad, Liberty Baptist Church there in Santiago. Got a report this morning and they had about 70 people there in the church. What an exciting thing. Pancho now, somebody that has moved from the hopeless to the one with hope. Those that were living without any purpose that now have a great purpose. Those that would have sorrowed at the time of death to the group that we don't need to sorrow like those who have no hope because when Jesus is coming back and everything's going to be so different and we'll be with him for eternity. What an exciting thing. I was there with Pancho at Liberty Baptist just about a year and a month ago. I guess it was a year and 2 or 3 months ago. And a guy walked in the door on a Sunday morning named Jose. Jose came in with several teenage children and his wife. They came in about 15 minutes after the service started, which is typical Latin American culture. Punctuality is not a big thing. We start on time, but he came in late. First time he'd ever been in church. And after the service was over with, he took off out the door, and I caught up with him there on the sidewalk in front of the church, and I introduced myself, and he said his name was Jose. And the first thing he told me, he said, I'm not here because I need any help, because I don't. I'm a good man. But my kids, my teenagers, they need help. And I've come because I want you to try to help them. And I told him, I'll do anything I can to try to help your kids. I don't know if any parents have come to church today thinking, you know, I don't know if I need to go to church today, but my kids sure do. That's probably not the best attitude. But Jose, that's what he was saying. And I remember telling him, we'll do anything we can to help your kids. And I didn't tell him, but I was thinking, we're coming after you too, buddy, because you need Jesus. I knew he was an unbeliever as I was talking to him. Well, they came every Sunday from then on. We tried to follow up with him and share the gospel with Jose. And he'd always say the same thing. That first part about being a sinner, I can't get past that. Don't call me a sinner. And we'd share the gospel with him again, explain what it means to be a sinner. And Jose was slow. His kids started getting saved. His wife got saved, and he was excited about it. We had a missions conference about this time last year because all the churches there are involved in supporting missionaries, Latin Americans in the most part that are there in different places starting churches. And Jose came to me after the service on Sunday morning, and he said, you know what? This is great. We can give an offering to help start churches, and they'll preach what you're preaching here, and families like my family can be changed like my kids have been changed. This is great. I want to start giving. But Jose was still an unbeliever. And I knew how Jose made a living. Jose, Monday through Friday, made statues. And he would go and sell those statues, and people would buy those and put them in their house and bow before those statues and pray to them. Light candles before him. and ask God to do something in their lives or provide for their needs, but they would pray to God through the statue. And basically, Jose is selling idols, and he's bringing that idol money to church, and he's saying, I want to support missions. And as the missionary, I'm thinking, oh, this is crazy. I don't know what to do. One of these strange things that happen on the mission field. And Jose started supporting missions. He was so close to being saved. So close. We were still sharing the gospel, praying with him. God was doing a work in his heart. 2 or 3 months went by. And on a Sunday morning, before we came back on this furlough, Jose realized that he was a sinner and needed a Savior and bowed his head and put his faith in Christ. And he moved from the hopeless to the ones that have great hope. And who was the Chilean pastor there working with him and helping him and his family? A guy by the name of Pancho. Pancho, that had been reached with the gospel, is now helping Jose find hope in Christ, and Jose's family is growing. What an exciting thing, and that's what missions is all about. But not just missions, that's what your church is all about. You have the opportunity here in this community to help people know the truth about Jesus, to know the true hope that there is in him, to know how they can be pulled out of that miry clay and set upon that solid rock, and how they can have that new song put in their heart. You have the opportunity here. And not only here, you have the opportunity through missions to affect the entire world. And what an exciting thing it is to know that one day we'll be in heaven, and one day we'll have the opportunity to relax and enjoy the Lord for all of eternity. And until then, we're soldiers in war. We're soldiers following Jesus, giving our lives to make a difference for eternity, to take the gospel next door, to take the gospel around the corner, to take the gospel around the world, so that those that are hopeless, millions living in Chile today that are hopeless, people that are dying today that are hopeless, there is no hope for them because they haven't heard the news of the gospel. But Lord willing, next year there'll be 3 more churches preaching the gospel. And God willing, soon there'll be another dozen or so churches preaching the gospel. And little by little, we'll do all we can do here at home and around the world to reach people with the gospel. But you know the exciting thing, whenever you read this text here talking about the hope that we have, the hope's not found in the missionary. The hope's not found at church. The hope's not found in the pastor. The hope's found in Jesus. And you know who the hero of missions is? The hero of missions, his name is Jesus, right? Because he's the one that's changing lives, and he's the one that is working in the hearts of the people. All we are tools in the master's hands. And I encourage you today to ask the Lord, Lord, how can I be used in a greater way to help those that are living without hope to know Jesus as their Savior so they can have a true hope? How can I encourage other people by my testimony and through my words to understand the gospel and put their faith in Christ? And how can God use you to make a greater impact around the world through worldwide missions? Let's pray together as the pastor comes forward. Lord, I thank you so much for the time that we've had this evening, hearing testimonies here at this church and there in Chile about lives that have been changed by your glorious gospel. And we thank you for the hope that we have in you. And we thank you if someone here that is a believer closes their eyes tonight and doesn't wake up in the morning, that we have a blessed hope. But I pray that our hearts will be broken for those that have no hope. And give us the boldness to continue sharing the gospel faithfully here at home and around the world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.